attack on an international airport anywhere in the world is a criminal act by terrorists.
So, well, first of all, you know, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to. I just think James Mattis sounds like one of those guys that Renee in North Carolina talks about, you know, little boys with big toys that shouldn't have these toys. An attack on an international airport anywhere in the world is a criminal act by terrorists. So is the CIA committing, are they terrorists committing criminal acts? That's my conjecture. And again, I made the case in the first hour, I suppose I should say, that I think the CIA is culpable, to say the least, in yesterday's alleged shelling of Kabul Airport, subsequent to Defense Secretary Mattis's arrival. But as I said, I think that the CIA targeting Antonio Maceo International Airport in the Bay of Pigs invasion is a provocative illustration of how the CIA attacks international airports all around the world. So James Mattis, are those criminal acts? And is the CIA a gang of terrorists? This is a real question. Actually, I think it's a rhetorical question. And I'm not trying to be sensational at all. So I'll finish this point and we'll go to the phones here in a minute. I mentioned the Cuban project, Operation Mongoose, the broader initiative to help overthrow Cuba, help overthrow Cuba essentially, or the communist regime ostensibly. But who does this? Help Cuba overthrow the communist regime. What does that mean? In other words, the CIA, just another entry in the long list of CIA's what they call covert regime change actions. We don't want anyone to know that it's us, but it's always us. So on that note, see also Wikipedia entry Operation Northwoods, related Operation Mongoose proposals. Related Operation Mongoose proposals. That section of the Operation Northwoods Wikipedia entry. And this is all public domain. Sometimes people ask, why do you read from Wikipedia? Because you can point to Wikipedia and nobody's going to say, oh, that's a conspiracy site or blog or whatever. It's very pedestrian. It's very tame. It's the whitewashed, watered-down version of things. And yet, listen to what we find there nonetheless. You know, Operation Cyclone is there. Read the CIA. Read about the CIA's creation of the Afghan Mujahideen, which became the Taliban, which became Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, etc., etc. You know the story. These things are all on Wikipedia. It's astonishing. You don't have to go somewhere to, you know, some conspiracy blog, as they say, to find this kind of damning information. It's public domain. And it's a known disclosed fact, as I said, the CIA is still trying to, 55 years later, 56 now, trying to gaslight the American people. Right out in plain sight. Astonishing, the hubris. So from the related Operation Mongoose proposal section of the Operation Northwoods Wikipedia entry, a little excerpt here. In addition to Operation Northwoods, under the Operation Mongoose program, the U.S. Department of Defense – and remember, Northwoods – well, what was Northwoods? Maybe I should back up. Northwoods, according to the Wikipedia entry, was a proposed false flag operation against the Cuban government. Remember, this is just one in a broader campaign, just one entry. Was a proposed false flag operation against the Cuban government that originated within the U.S. Department of Defense. Remember the National Security Act of 1947 created the National Military Establishment, a.k.a. Department of Defense. So false flag operation against the Cuban government originated within the Department of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Again, remember the National Security Act of 1947? This was back in 1962. The proposal called for the CIA, again, remember the National Security Act of 1947, or other U.S. government operatives to commit acts of terrorism against American civilians and military targets, blaming it on the Cuban government and using it to justify a war against Cuba. Plans detailed in the document include the possible assassination of Cuban emigres, sinking boats of Cuban refugees on the high seas, hijacking planes. Remember George W.? I don't think anyone could have anticipated, except maybe the Joint Chiefs of Staff back in 1962, flying planes into buildings, hijacking planes, blowing up a U.S. ship, and orchestrating violent terrorism in U.S. cities. Remember they plotted to attack American malls and hijack commercial airliners, et cetera, et cetera. That was Operation Northwoods. Again, part of a broader plan, the Cuban Project, Operation Mongoose. So continuing related Operation Mongoose proposals, this is all awesome. Isn't this fun? In addition to Operation Northwoods, under the Operation Mongoose program, the Department of Defense, National Military Establishment, had a number of similar proposals to be taken against the Cuban regime of Fidel Castro. 12 of these proposals, 12, come from just one memorandum, February 2nd, 1962, titled Possible Actions, listen to this, to provoke, harass, or disrupt Cuba. Who does that? Who provokes, harasses, and disrupts? Remember what I always say? The two sides of the same coin, P2OG and R2P? The memorandum outlines Operation Bingo, a plan to, quote, create an incident which has the appearance of an attack on U.S. facilities Gitmo in Cuba, thus providing an excuse for use of U.S. military might to overthrow the current government of Cuba, end quote. And there's more, but that's probably enough. I mean, who thinks this stuff up? And reading the March 13, 1962 memo at the top of the Operation Northwoods Wikipedia entry, I would say reminds one of C. Wright Mills' power elite and his elucidation of what he referred to as the interwoven interests of the leaders of the military, corporate, and political elements of our society. So, reading from that memo, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, listen to how just kind of scripted this sounds. Joint Chiefs of Staff have considered the attached memorandum for the Chief of Operations Cuba Project, which responds to a request of that office for brief but precise description of pretexts which would provide justification for U.S. military intervention in Cuba. And tell me if this doesn't sound like a rinse and repeat scenario of Mattis's visit to Afghanistan. Joint Chiefs of Staff recommended that they're not smart. They do this and apparently we don't get wise to it. So, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Rinse and repeat. Joint Chiefs of Staff, point number two, Joint Chiefs of Staff recommend that the proposed memorandum be forwarded as a preliminary submission suitable for planning purposes. It is assumed that there will be similar submissions, listen to that, from other agencies, and that these inputs will be used as a basis for developing a time-phased plan. Individual projects can then be considered on a case-by-case basis. But listen, number three, I think, is very provocative. Point number three, further, it is assumed that a single agency will be given the primary responsibility for developing military and paramilitary aspects of the basic plan. It is recommended that this responsibility for both overt and covert military operations be assigned the Joint Chiefs of Staff. single agency indeed, an unofficially official setup from the beginning, or perhaps even before. The bottom line, the Mattis Taliban nonsense is just another example in a long, uninterrupted line of the Machiavellian two-sided pathocratic coin, P2OG meets R2P. Remember, proactive preemptive operations group stimulating reactions, going around poking the world in the nose in the dead of night. And then, of course, the world reacts, and guess what? We have a responsibility to protect, don't we? Only who is responsible for the provocation? Always. Always, without exception. And once again, all brought to you by the fraudulent, usurpative, administrative fourth branch, 14th Amendment jurisdiction, and its neo-feudal serfdom. And the CIA? Well, I think Ralph McGahee put it best in his book, Deadly Deceits. The CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. In that capacity, it overthrows or supports foreign governments while reporting intelligence, quote-unquote, justifying those activities, stovepiping. It shapes its intelligence, even in such critical areas as Soviet nuclear weapon capability or weapons of mass destruction in the modern incarnation, to support presidential policy. Disinformation is a large part of its covert action responsibility, and the American people are the primary target. They're the primary target audience of its lies. I think that's about as well as you can say it. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, thanks for calling. Welcome.
It says, and the scribes and the Pharisees were the political and religious and military leaders at that time. So anyway, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not. In other words, stay hidden. And the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. I recommend everyone to read Luke chapter 11 to get more insight, but that's as a starting point. Regarding the CIA, that would be the intriguers. They are not acting on their own, and it's rather common knowledge the CIA grew out of the OSS that was established by the British king and his subordinates. Yeah. And in 1947, the CIA was one of those internationalist, globalist, tyrant organizations. But there was another one that deserves, I am of the opinion that deserves more notice and more study. It's called the International Bar Association. Mm-hmm. And it's headquartered, of course, in London. But the plausible deniability and all, it was ostensibly established by a meeting in New York. So the American Union, the lapdog for the Queen, all right, the muscle for the British tyrant, is being exercised through these. And at the present time, a man named David W. Rivkin. And I don't know his heritage at all. It's very, very difficult to find a lot of information about him other than his credentials. And he's very, very powerful and very highly credentialed. But anyway, regarding the Mattis and the, all of the sleight of hand and deceptions and everything, There's a book that was written in 1995 by a lieutenant, another Marine, Lieutenant Colonel H.T. Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N, called War Fighting, that is pretty much the playbook that they're running. So so once again, I just like to encourage everyone to understand that, you know, to better try to understand who the middlemen are, because in my perception and my understanding, they are the International Bar Association, which is at this point immense. It says on the Wikipedia website that the IBA currently has a membership of more than 80,000 individual lawyers and 200 bar associations and law societies. Its global headquarters are located in London, England, and has regional offices in Washington, D.C., United States, Seoul, South Korea, and Sao Paulo, Brazil. This less known than the CIA, because once again, the blame is all getting dropped on us people here in America, and there are a lot of pieces of information that are starting to come to the light that that reveal that the British sovereign is advancing her agenda quite rapidly now.
Do you find it interesting, Dave, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, but do you find it interesting, as I do, that if one searches Bar Association, you don't find what BAR stands for? It's an acronym, and it stands for British Accreditation Regency, excuse me. And I find it astonishing that, for example, the Wikipedia entries of that and various related entries don't contain the words that explain that acronym.
I've researched that before, and I've drawn the same conclusion that you have. And once again, plausible deniability. I've talked to different people. I've consulted a lawyer friend of mine. All right, there are lawyers that really try to untangle messes and understand, but. So there's plausible deniability there, but there is no plausible deniability about whether the International Bar Association exists or not. And anyone that pretends to be representing national interests that is a member of this is either an extremely self-centered hypocrite or else schizophrenic, you know, mentally ill.
Yeah.
They can't be both. They have to either be loyal to a nation or they have to be a traitor.
Yeah, absolutely. And this comes down to the issue that, you know, Tom Lacovara specifically and even Bruce Ray, but Tom especially would point out the fact that once you know, especially when it comes down to folks in the law profession, once you know the game, then to perpetuate it is tantamount to misprison of treason.
May I make another comment after this coming break?
Absolutely. Yeah, please. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But
back.
I want the perfect body.
So we're on the phones. We have Dave in Wisconsin on the line. Dave, you had another point to make before you do. A couple of things. First, was what you were reading, was that Luke 11, you said?
I started at verse 44.
Okay. It was Luke 11,
in
though?
The King James Version. That's the... You know, I won't get into any arguments about what Bible to use. That's the one I use, and if there's any dispute with anyone, they have to go elsewhere to argue that point.
Okay, so what was the passage specifically?
It was Luke chapter 11, verse 44. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves, in other words, invisible, which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, speaking to Jesus, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. So they're subordinate to these political and religious leaders, the lawyers are. And he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." And it goes on with several different indictments against lawyers, because obviously this was a time when paganism was rampant throughout the world, when Jesus came into the world, and the lust for world domination and total power and control in a one world government was already manifesting itself at that point.
Absolutely.
So I highly recommend that, and it it's very instructive. But the thing is, when people hear, we're so programmed. It's like when people hear the word Pharisee or scribes, they all automatically, it's like the programming is, it's the Jews. Well, these are people groups within that people group of the Jews. That it was the Jewish Judea, but. But these are the scribes, the people that wrote out the tickets, so forth. They were subordinate. You know, they were doing. The scribes were as heavily involved as the Pharisees, as far as I go. But the definitions of the word scribes and Pharisees are important to also understand in the context of that time. For example, Pharisee, and I think this is very kind, because it says a member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observance of the traditional and written law and commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. That makes it appear that, oh, well, they were just people that were obeying the law very strictly and not trying to enforce it on others through terror and deception and the occult. In other words, yeah. Through their subordinates, the lawyers. But that does not excuse the lawyers for their nefarious action at a time when it's provable that it was a time where Judea had fallen into corruption again, into apostasy. But
yeah.
But anyway, see, the thing is. In the Ten Commandments, God said, no idolatry, all right? And so I'm not an iconoclast at all. I try to be a serious student and tell the truth. My mother taught me that well. And it's important to...
Dave, we're headed into a break. Do you want to hold that thought and we'll come back to it on the other side of the break? Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after the short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, They understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
The good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's broadcast is Thursday, September 28th, 2017. We're on the phones. Again, we have Dave in Wisconsin on the line. Dave, before you finish that point, I just wanted to mention, before I forget, the note on the CIA and OSS, one of my favorite books is Jeanette Conant's book, The Irregulars, Roald Dahl and the British Spy Ring in Wartime Washington. I remember when it first came out, I talked about it and I thought it was great, especially Roald Dahl's, his role in the conversion of the OSS to the CIA and, while Bill Donovan Julia Child working for Wild Bill Donovan and so forth. And it, I think her book is one of the books that makes it very clear your point, you know, about it was, I mean, like the title says, the Irregulars, Roald Dahl and the British Spy Ring in wartime Washington. It was the British exactly. Spy Ring that, I mean, they basically were the folks that made sure that it operated the way that that it was supposed to, if that makes sense.
Exactly, exactly. And William Stevenson was instrumental in that, the yep. the British Canadian spy.
Yep.
Spy master, actually. His
yeah.
name was Intrepid. So,
yep. Camp X up there, and the basis for the James Bond storyline, et cetera. Absolutely.
Exactly. Anyway, you know, it's difficult to make comments about men that are as extraordinary and impressive forever as Thomas Jefferson. And I'm not iconoclastic. As a matter of fact, his early life at Shadwell, all right, he had developed a rather large library, and Shadwell burnt to the ground. Now, that would devastate anyone, but someone that was a serious 15 hours a day student as a young man that was growing up, that would, I mean, to overcome that adversity early in life and not become pessimistic is amazing in itself.
I agree.
Now, I read an academic's work that is from official records by Willard Stern Randall, named Thomas Jefferson, A Life, which I think everyone that is interested in getting both their feet on the ground about Thomas Jefferson and not idolizing him too much, as extraordinary as he is, but to learn some things about his frailties and idiosyncrasies and so forth, as well as all of his extraordinary accomplishments, is essential for us to get to a point where we can get a better perception of our Declaration of Independence, the Kentucky Resolution, the Virginia Resolution, all of it. It has to do, the character of a man has to do with his writing. And but one, the last time I called in and talked to you, I mentioned that it's very important to if you want to know what water is, don't ask the fish and go outside of the fishbowl. And I would recommend a letter by a man named Thomas Babington Macaulay, the first Baron Macaulay, and a word search of the word Macaulay on words, Macaulay on democracy, is a letter from this man to Henry S. Randall of New York, and I guess it's from after he had done the, much like Willard Stern Randall, a biography of Thomas Jefferson. And in this letter, Macaulay criticizes our Constitution as not having an anchor, which I firmly disagree with that allegation and assertion. We the people are the anchor. We the people try to always assert our authorities toward being the captain of the ship, and always there is someone that emerges as the president, which is essentially that capacity. But this letter is from the outside and offers a perspective that we need to understand and see in order to go, oh, this is not a perfect document, and it takes really hard work and a lot of study in order to understand it well enough to properly apply it. And incidentally, what has to precede that is a well-formed conscience. And that goes right back to John Adams and his admonition that of what that Constitution, the only people that it would be acceptable to and work for was a moral and religious people.
Mm-hmm. Wholly inadequate for the government to the government of any other, he said.
Yes. Anyway, I wanted to make those points. I'm really at a busy time. I'll probably, unfortunately, be missing a couple of broadcasts. I try to hear everyone. I try to go to the archives and re-listen. But thanks for giving me this length of time to express those thoughts.
Absolutely. Before you take off, do you have one more brief minute, Dave?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
The letter that you mentioned, did you mention that was published in the New York Times, Macaulay on Democracy?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
A long time ago.
Yeah, 1860.
Yeah.
March 24, 1860.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not a long read either. It's not a long read for anyone else that's listening that really wants to see what other people that analyzed our Constitution and how things were developing. That's a really good snapshot of what some other people thought about it. And it's to my estimation, it's still the most extraordinary document. However, the argument will continue endlessly until people get their feet on the ground of separating the Declaration of Independence from the Constitution to the degree where what I call the fire eater constitutionalists whose finisher is always, well, I'm for the Constitution, because in the Declaration of Independence there is a very interesting statement in there that talks about altering and abolishing. And if the fire eater, we the people fire eaters, subscribe to that, are we so ignorant that we don't think that these people that are trying to crush the world until we humbly bend our knee to their will, don't also subscribe to that and go, oh, well, all we did was what the Declaration of Independence says, even though the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are specifically opposed to that alteration and abolishment. See, that's something that's before the fact. That's before they met in Philadelphia. Still the most extraordinary document that has served all of us so well, and I pray that we come to the realization that the more we exercise our proper authority, it isn't over till it's over. And it's when people start thinking again and then acting instead of acting and then thinking
or
about what
reacting,
they did.
Constantly yeah. reacting on their heels, yeah.
Yeah, reacting. Okay, well, thank you, and God bless.
Hold on, if you have a second, I was just going to comment to what you were saying. And, you know, Jefferson's, to your point, this is why I keep coming back to Jefferson's bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge in the preamble. In it, he states, you know, the solution of the problem, which is why I keep saying we have to understand exactly what you're talking about. What was the underlying premise? What were the foundational precepts to the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and for that matter, the Articles of Confederation? What are the underlying precepts? Which is why we have to come back to that and understand those instead of living or dying on a particular document, like you're saying, the fire eaters. And so Jefferson's point in that regard was, as he said, whether it's the Articles or whether it's the Constitution, as he put it, whereas it appeareth that however certain forms of government are better calculated than others, maybe it's the Articles, maybe it's the Constitution, you know, certain forms are better calculated than others to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights. And right there, I would submit to the listener that the 14th Amendment doesn't do that. It doesn't protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights. But certain forms are better calculated than others, Jefferson says, and are at the same time themselves better guarded against degeneracy. Yet, experience has shown that even under the best forms, those entrusted with power, not naming names, not a specific demographic or group or country or whatever, but those entrusted with power, Jefferson says, in time and by slow operations have perverted it into tyranny. And it is believed that the most effectual means of preventing this, or the best defense against that, would be to illuminate as far as practicable the minds of the people at large and more especially to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. He expressed the same sentiment other places. You know, if we think them not capable of, how did he say it? Exercising their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take that control from them, but to inform their discretion.
Yeah, I spend time, Chris, I spend time researching, all right, by doing a word search for Thomas Jefferson quotes. There are a lot of his functional platitudes that everyone and anyone, no matter what age, should read, because that man is, once again, is so totally extraordinary in terms of informing the conscience.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And he was, yeah, he was an, you know, he was a part of the Enlightenment. You wouldn't say that he was a devout Christian minister that crawled around on his knees all the time, because he wasn't. He would have been a problem to someone like John Adams or John Quincy Adams in terms mm-hmm. of. And they had exchanges. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson had letter exchanges throughout their later years, and they went back and forth about the divinity of Christ. And mm-hmm. Jefferson, he was fairly adamant about, well, yes, Jesus Christ lived, but he was not divine. And that exchange went on and on. But
yeah,
nevertheless,
the Bible is great. Just take the miracles out, and I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah, but nevertheless, there are people, you can go back to Plato and Socrates and so forth. Their wisdom was deep, regardless of the fact of whether they were before Christ came or after. They still left a legacy that can be studied and learned from, and the conscience can develop as a result of that.
Absolutely, and so if I understand right, that was all predicated on the point you made, the Ten Commandments, no idolatry. You said, I'm not an iconoclast. And so this isn't man worship or worship of wisdom or knowledge or anything like that, but just to learn from great minds and the wisdom of history, so to speak. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, and one other long, we get long winters here in Wisconsin, so I do a lot of reading after things get cold and wet and snowy. St. Augustine wrote 22 volumes of a book called The City of God, where he contrasted mm-hmm. ancient paganism with Christianity. And there's areas of his writing that I disagree with, where he identified men as animals and not distinctively different than animals. In other words, sentient people that have consciences. But for the most part, that contrast was really foundational to a lot of improvement in the world. He was a Roman Catholic, apostle. I don't know what he was called at the time, but they call him a saint now. I was born into a Roman Catholic family. That doesn't mean I beat the drum about Roman Catholicism all the time or anything, but there were people that were devout, intelligent people that left us with a legacy we can learn from that will form our consciences in a better direction. And that's just reality, whether it was a long, long, long time ago, or there are writers today that are fairly impressive, too. I mean, very impressive, like a man that just retired named Thomas Sowell. I read mm-hmm. a lot of his work, and I think that his work should be revisited, even though he's retired.
Mm-hmm. Before we go into the break, can you cite that book again, the book on Jefferson that you referenced?
Yeah, it's and he was this is one of the academics that quoted from his papers extensively. It's a large book. It's called Thomas Jefferson And then right at the bottom of it, it just says A Life in very small print. And the author is Willard Stern, S-T-E-R-N-E, Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L-L. It's extraordinary. I mean, this man, throughout his life, he was a serious-minded man, which we should all be. Even though if we lose our sense of humor, then that's not all that good either.
Yeah.
But I may reread this because it's been a while since I did. But and it's a large volume. It isn't something that someone will sit down to and read in 45 minutes or something. It's something like 560 pages long or something.
Well, as always, Dave, I appreciate your insight and taking the time to share it with us. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back. Final segment coming up right after this short break. You bet, Dave.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with...
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is September 28th, Thursday, 2017. Thomas Jefferson I think the sentiment that Dave and I were kind of kicking back and forth, Jeffersonian sentiment, is perhaps best summed up in the statement from his letter to William Charles Jarvis, September 28, 1820, when he wrote, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves, and if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." And what we see today is, he said, you know, "I am not among those who fear the people." And what we see today is completely antithetical to that. It is a system of, it's a scientific dictatorship that is run by these people who are terrified of the people at large, because if the people knew what these people think up, the kinds of things that I explained, then they fear for their lives, I think, generally, if we could just kind of sum it up. So it really comes down to that. And I hold the Jeffersonian view that the safest depository of the ultimate powers of the society are not technocrats, but the people themselves. And as Jefferson put it, if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to propagandize them to make them believe that technocrats should be in charge, or to take it from them, as Jefferson said, but to inform their discretion by education. I think this is what Dave was advocating, if I may say so. And I agree with Jefferson. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. And I have high hopes that maybe we can move that direction, but it is incumbent upon each one of us to inform our own discretion and to perhaps encourage our fellow man to do the same. Final point, I keep hearing John Adams' dissertation on the canon of feudal law echo in my ears. Have you read it? I would encourage folks to read that. And one of the questions I was going to ask Dave was regarding what I said early on in the first hour, in particular, the National Military Establishment / DOD, the CIA Joint Chiefs, all of that National Security Act apparatus, the incessant false flag and astroturfing campaigns from the Bay of Pigs to yesterday's alleged Taliban attack on Kabul airport, subsequent to the Defense Secretary Mattis's arrival. Are we making any sense? People, does this make sense? I hope it made sense. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
The American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.